Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Dub Nation.
The voice of the Warriors. Invites you to take your seats.
Please take your seats.
At the Warriors Roundtable.
Bernie Butler got it.
Welcome to the table.
On the exclusive home of your Golden State Warriors. 95.7, the game.
Here's Tim Roy.
17,782 for Curry. Dribble drive. Curry goes in, drives the layup. It's up and good. And there he is, Stephen Curry. Now the all-time leading scorer in Warriors franchise history. He shines brighter than the Big Dipper as he passes Wilt Chamberlain into history.
You know, you think about that. The Warriors had two players in their history that transformed the game. Wilt Chamberlain did it in the arriving, of course, in the late 50s, down into the 60s with the San Francisco Warriors after they moved from Philadelphia. He averaged 50 points a game. There were three rules that were changed for Wilt Chamberlain, and or because of Wilt Chamberlain, I should say. And he literally forced us to look at the center position in a different way as a scoring. And it was the golden age of centers back in the 70s and 80s. And Wilt brought that along. He inspired guys who came after him to be the type of player that he was. And now the Warriors back in San Francisco. Stephen Curry breaks the all-time scoring record. And another guy who has transformed the game. The game's different because Steph Curry changed the way we play the game, changed the way we looked at how to score, changed the way we looked at a three-point shot, and just changed the way kids now are preparing for basketball games. They work on their ball handling. They work on their shooting. And, I just can't tell you what a privilege, what an honor it is to call his games. And I don't mean that in a sappy way. I'm being dead serious about that. It is an honor to watch him play, and he's 33 years old, and I think we should all savor this and, you know, remember, you know, where you were in certain moments in his career if you're a Warriors fan. I know it's getting a little melodramatic, but it still gets to the point. He's a superstar, and he's the nicest, most overlooked superstar, underrated player that you're ever going to come across. So my question for you tonight, and we have a great show, great news for the Golden State Warriors today. We heard that Rick Welts is going to be stepping down at the end of the year, which is very bittersweet. He will remain as an advisor, so we're not totally losing him because he is certainly one of the brightest and the best that has ever been, not only with the Warriors, but in the NBA. But today the Warriors announced that they're replacing him with Brandon Schneider. And Brandon Schneider and Bob Myers have a similar path. They both grew up in the Bay Area. They both grew up Warrior fans. And now they're working for the franchise. So we'll talk to Brandon. He's going to join us in a little while. He's been with the club since, I believe, 2002. And, you know, just one of those of us, there's not many left of for who were around in 2002 and who went through that time. So he understands. He's a Warrior fan, so he understands what, you know, that five-year run meant, you know, every single bit of it. By the way, 888-957-9570, where do you put Curry in terms of Bay Area icons? You can hit us up at the text line, give us a call, and we'll try to get to your call in just a moment. Or you can hit me up on Twitter at Warriors Vox. You can email me at Tim Roy, T-I-M-R-O-Y-E, at Warriors.com. We'll try to get to as many as we can. Where do you put him under Bay Area sports icons? Where is he on your list? I'm curious to find out now at this point. You know, they won three championships. He's a two-time MVP. He's the franchise all-time leading assist man and all-time leading scorer. I mean, he's building up the resume. He is building up the resume for sure. Warriors head on the road. They're in Oklahoma City. They'll take on the Thunder there tomorrow night. The Thunder are actually in Salt Lake City tonight. They're playing the Jazz. Back-to-back starts tomorrow at Oklahoma City, Thursday at Cleveland. Now, tomorrow, it's a weird road trip. Five games on the road trip, and there are five different starting times. It begins in Oklahoma City. Tomorrow is a 6 o'clock tip, 5:30 with the airtime. On Thursday, it's an hour earlier, 5 o'clock tip, 4:30 of the airtime. And then on Saturday, the Warriors are in Boston, 5:30 with the tip and 5 o'clock with the airtime when the Warriors take on the Celtics. And then they go back to their original home in Philadelphia on Monday. That's a 4:30 start with a 4 o'clock pregame. So keep listening so we can tell you exactly when to tune in for the Warriors on the road. And it's a big road trip. Very big road trip for the Golden State Warriors. They have to have this. They have to have this road trip and do well on this road trip. And to, as Steve Kerr likes to say, to get on that run that he feels they've been so close to. But every time they start to get close to making a run, something happens. An injury, health and safety protocols, they don't close out a game they maybe they should and win the game. You know, games like Washington, games like at Charlotte. So, and they wrap up the road trip in Washington, so there could be some payback there. But as before I get to your comments, let's get to last night. And I thought there were a couple of cool things last night. First up, we had the pleasure of talking with, you know, Steph had the duties with national TV last night. So we had Draymond Green to come by and chat with us for a moment. And I want you to hear that conversation because we not only talk a little bit about Draymond, but the first question I asked him was about playing alongside Stephen Curry. Here's Draymond Green on last night's postgame show. You know, Draymond, as you look toward the top of the assist board, and stats.com has this list of players that, you know, team up with another player for their most assist, and you're atop in the league. You handed out the most assist to one other player, and that, of course, is Stephen. What's it like as you step aside every now and then to think about your role in the NBA to have been able to team up with this guy for so long?
It's been incredible. You know, when I obviously think about my career, I can't think much about my career without, you know, thinking of Steph Curry. You know, we've done some incredible things together. And as, you know, as incredible as it's been to play with him, it's been even more incredible and more special to create a brotherhood, you know, that'll last far past my days as a Warrior, his days as a Warrior, my days as a basketball player, and his as well, you know. So I don't take it for granted, being able to step on the floor every night with, you know, with greatness. You look, you know, you look to your left and there's a GOAT standing next to you. I don't take that for granted at all. It's and, you know, we have a special chemistry out there.
You were looking to score tonight, and you did well. Season high, 18 points, 7 of 8 from the floor with 7 boards, 7 assists.
Coach told me earlier today at shoot-around, you catch the ball, shoot it. You know, you drive to the hole, score. And, you know, when Coach has that type of confidence in me, it helps a ton to go out there and not think and just let it fly. You know, Seth Cooper, who I've been working with, you know, he always tell me, when you're down and ready to shoot, you make 50% of them, and you know, it's just a matter of being ready to shoot. And so tonight I came out ready to shoot and was able to knock them down.
You should have looked Steve in the eye and you should have said, oh, you changed your tune since Oklahoma, huh? Right. Oh, started letting them go.
Wow.
Does it offend you, or does it kind of make you chuckle a little bit that this far into your career people still think they can post you up? They still think they got somebody who's 2 or 3 inches shorter than them, and if they just get him down on the block, that they could have some sort of advantage. I can't believe people haven't figured it out by now, but I mean, when they do it, you think, what are you doing?
Oh, when they do it, I enjoy it.
I bet you do.
You know, I think guarding the post, that's where you get to be more physical than anything on the defensive side of the ball. So, you know, anytime a guy go to the post, that's your chance to bang. So I enjoy it. And saying that, Joker's a hell of a player.
Yeah.
He's very nimble, you know, so you use all your strength to stop the back down, and he'll start rolling off your body. Incredible player. Tough guard.
Well, that's the thing about him that most guys don't have, right? It's that spin move. He'll use your leverage against you, and most guys don't have that counter.
Yeah, most guys don't have that counter. Most guys don't have the touch he has either.
No.
You know, so even if you get him, I think a few times I did a great job in keeping him, you know, at least 8 to 10 feet away from the rim, but his touch is incredible. To watch him grow in this league, I think he came in with 47th to 49th pick. And to watch him grow, you know, he's a special player.
How impressed were you by what the second unit did in the third quarter? Because I thought that was the key to what you guys were able to. You guys got that lead. All right, fourth quarter, I should say, Draymond. They came in, not only held it, but they extended it. And I think not only was that big tonight, that's going to be a key down the stretch.
It'll definitely be a key. If we're able to build a lead, you know, we need those guys to at least keep it. And, you know, when your second unit keep the lead, that's all you can ask for. When they extend it, you really got to take advantage of that. And I think we were able to take advantage of it. It made a huge difference tonight. And, you know, those guys, they put the work in. So it's good to see a payoff for them. And like you said, we're going to need it the rest of the way. But it was huge for us tonight.
Draymond, congratulations on the win. And, by the way, you're a go-to, by the way.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Draymond.
That's Draymond Green. You could hear in that first answer just how much he cherishes the role that he has alongside Steph Curry. And you think about Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, they're all better together. You know, they fit so well. They complement each other. Even in personality, they complement each other. And so that's one of the reasons why this worked so well during the Warriors' run. From the 650 on the text line, says right now it's Jerry Rice number one, Steph number two, but when Steph retires, he'll be number one. You know, and Tom and I were talking about this in the postgame show last night, that, you know, he has a chance to get into the top 10 all-time scoring. Top 10 all-time scoring. I mean, you know, he's not going to get to Kareem, obviously, but he could get in that top 10 with reasonable health over the rest of his career, because even at the end of his career, depending on how long he wants to play or whether or not he wants to try to join the senior tour in golf, I mean, even when he loses a little bit of the mobility, he could still park himself in a corner and knock down shots. So it's going to be interesting to see how that goes. And last night, speaking of a guy who could knock down shots, when Steph was getting ready for his postgame presser, the first guy that came on in the postgame presser was the legendary number 17 in the rafters, Chris Mullen. Let's hear part of that conversation. I thought that was pretty cool.
Steph.
That's great. Who said that?
Oh!
What's up?
What's up, Molly?
Hey, Steph, on all the former players that you put in your rearview mirror, I want to congratulate you on becoming the Warriors franchise all-time leading scorer. Just an amazing accomplishment and milestone, one of many that you've already accomplished in your historic NBA career, but yet passing Will Chamberlain is just an amazing milestone. I mean, I've watched you from day one, and it's just been a pleasure and a joy to watch you. So congratulations, of course, but more important, I want to thank you for the way you've done it. The things you're able to do on the basketball court, your work ethic, your discipline, your dedication is unmatched. Your fitness level, which just takes time, and true leadership, your appreciation of your teammates. I mean, it's just, you bring so much joy and happiness to the world, and it's so appreciated. So I just want to say thank you for that. And probably maybe more importantly, Steph, your humility, your integrity, your class and your grace, that you, the way you carry yourself on and off the court. Just a true role model for young and old. So really just want to say congratulations and thank you for being you, Steph Curry.
No, no, how much that means, man. I appreciate you for the acknowledgement. And obviously, when you get respect from people that have walked the same hallways and taken the same court and understand the ups and downs of what this league is about, and that means, that respect means so much to me and my family, and I appreciate that. I'm happy to be able to represent everybody that's worn this uniform. You know, the guys that are in the rafters like yourself, and it's crazy. It's crazy to know what tonight meant. So I appreciate that, Molly, more than you know.
Well, I just want to say and getting back to tonight, I mean, so ironic. You pass Will Chamberlain with a power move and you flex your muscles. It wasn't a 3-point shot. And then you finish with 53 points. So, I mean, just another amazing performance. Again, Steph, just your on-court performance is amazing, but the way you do it is as amazing. So I just want to say, finally, just congratulations and thank you for being you. Have a great night.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
I think one night we need to get Molly and Steph to sit down, and we'll do it from a remote location and do an hour of them just talking basketball. I think that would be fabulous here on the Warriors Roundtable. Hey, Dub Nation, we're excited to welcome you back to Chase Center, starting with the game on April 23rd against Denver. That's right, when the Warriors come off this road trip, fans will be in the stands. Many plans for the remaining home games are available now. Go to Warriors.com to purchase and learn more about the new health and safety protocols. And let me tell you, the Warriors have been working on this stuff since last March. Since the day after the league was suspended, the Warriors were already working for this day. So they're ready. It's going to be safe. It's going to be fun. And it's just going to be great to see the fans back in the stands. When I come back, we'll hear from the new president and COO of the Golden State Warriors, plus a conversation with Sam Amick of The Athletic, talking about the upcoming playoffs. And that comes next right here on the Warriors Roundtable on your home for Golden State Warriors basketball, 95.7.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free, so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vien and Sabrina Deanna Roga, here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes of, a Crime House Original.
Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
The game.
Each and every member of Dub Nation has a seat at this table.
If everybody would please take your seats.
The Warriors Roundtable. The table has returned on 95.7. The game. Now back to Warriors Vox.
A look away three. Oh my goodness. That's ridiculous. You've got to be kidding me.
Tim Roy.
Well, the Warriors 2021 season presented by Kaiser Permanente. We head down the home stretch, you know, less than 20 games left in the season, and the playoffs starting to come into a view here, and the play-in tournament is also a big factor. Those are some of the things we chatted about with Sam Amick of The Athletic, a longtime correspondent covering the NBA and one of the all-time best. Here's our conversation we had earlier today. Well, Sam, you know, we're coming off a night last night where a lot of things happened at Chase Center, so I'm going to ask for your perspective on the two biggest things that came out of that game. One was Stephen Curry passing Wilt Chamberlain, something I never thought would happen in my tenure as a Warrior announcer. You just assumed that all the scoring records were going to stay belonging to Wilt, maybe other than three-point shooting. But, you know, Stephen Curry, Tom Tolbert and I were talking the other night that Stephen Curry has a shot at getting into the top 10 all time in NBA scoring. If he stays reasonably healthy, he could do that.
Yeah, incredible night, and obviously two polar opposite kind of highlights and low lights. I mean, the Steph situation in contrast, Tim, with the Jamal Murray injury. But when it comes to Steph, you know, I mean, we run out of superlatives. If I'm being honest, my friend, I really miss covering him in person. If you ask me to put together a short list of kind of things I'm missing about the job right now, I'm mostly remote until we get back in the gym for media purposes. So, you know, watching him on TV last night, it was captivating, and it's not the same as being in the arena, but my God, the swagger he had in the first quarter and that mentality that he obviously decided to go out and take care of that record as quickly as possible. It was just so much fun to watch. And you saw it had a little bit of everything that makes him great. It had some of the edge that sometimes still doesn't get appreciated when Campazzo was, you know, channeling Matthew Dellavedova from back in the day and acting as if, you know, the way to get under Steph's skin is to be kind of that rat terrier type defender. And that doesn't work. That ticks him off and he just got roasted. So fun to watch. I do feel like, and I know that you will respect this little tidbit on the side, we got to make sure that we continue to give that Wilt the praise he deserves. Cause as crazy it is that Steph passes him, you know, you go back and you look at it and it's about 300 more games.
Absolutely.
That it took,
yeah.
Steph. I mean, and I looked at the per game average today, actually. I mean, Wilt averaged 41.5 points a game with the Warriors. 41.5. And Steph is about 24. So I think both things can be true. We can say how transcendent and great Steph is and make sure that we have a hat tip to Wilt as well.
I think Wilt is probably the most underappreciated superstar that sports has produced in this country. I'm a big Wilt guy. I think it's, you know, you think about that, 41 a night for the Warriors. You know, he has a bad night, gets 31. Well, he has to get 51 the next night to, you know, make up for that. It's like, it's
right.
It's crazy to think about. And the other thing is that if a full box score had been kept when he was playing, he'd own the blocks record. He would have, you know, more assists. It would just be ridiculous.
100%. I was going to say, and you can probably relate to this too, sometimes it's people in our lives who are not necessarily basketball fans who give us good outsider perspective. So my wife, I mentioned to her last night, you know, she's met Steph, she likes Steph. And so I told her about the record and about how Steph passed Wilt. And her first question was, oh, okay, well, is it like the same amount of games? And I was like, no, very different. And she you know, she kind of gave me this look like, all right, well, good job, Steph. But, you know, this Wilt guy sounds pretty incredible.
Yeah. Good for her. Good for her. That's a great question. It's an outstanding question. The other part is a sad part. Jamal Murray goes down, and maybe with it the hopes of the Nuggets of getting to a Western Conference Final or a championship round. You know, how big of an injury is that, do you think, to the Western Conference?
I think it's huge. I just feel terrible for him. You know, I wouldn't pretend to know him intimately, but he has got a great reputation around the league. My dealings with him have been really good. When I was in the bubble, we had a long conversation about how well he was playing in the bubble, but more specifically about, you know, the way he had locked in. And we, you know, it was kind of a crazy thing. He talked about how during that time he was taking 5-hour naps, like 4 or 5-hour naps to to basically just focus on the craft, block everything else out, and go be the best basketball player he can be. But then, you know, when he goes and he scores 50 against Utah and has that amazing face-off with Donovan Mitchell, and then has a riveting, passionate, really memorable interview post-game with Jared Greenberg of TNT and NBA TV, it showed you more of who he was as a guy. And so, to be honest, my first thought when he got hurt was just more just him as a person. And the idea that, you know, right now with the pandemic, with what's happening in the country, and having seen a little slice of who he is as a person, you know, it's a little bit like Klay Thompson. You're taking away his passion, and you're taking it away for a long time. And you're robbing him and the Nuggets of what I do think was a legitimate title chance. You know, I know that sounds like maybe a reach, but I mean, I'd give him 12% odds, you know, something like that. And now I do think that's gone. And now I think it's, you know, a Utah, Clippers, Lakers type landscape, and Phoenix, of course, playing really well. So it changes things. And you know, within all that, you got Nikola Jokic, who was my MVP front runner at the moment. And so there's possibly going to be a ripple effect there. You know, how, you know, is Jokic able to carry these guys and keep them playing well, or is it just going to be too much to overcome?
Yeah, it's going to be difficult. The simplistic, not knowing their team as well as I obviously as I know the Warriors, I would think that maybe Jokic would have to score more now, look to score as opposed to look to pass. But let's move on. We're talking with Sam Amick of the senior NBA writer for The Athletic and a friend of Warriors Radio. I saw the comments from Mark Cuban about the play-in tournament. He's kind of backing up Luka Doncic on this, backing up his star. You know, I understand that, and I think that's true of any sort of wild card situation in sports. But on the other hand, you know, it's going to keep a lot of NBA, you know, attention in about six cities that maybe otherwise would be talking about the lottery or the draft. How do you view the play-in tournament?
I have to admit it. So I saw the headline, Tim, and I'm a little guilty of I like Cuban a lot. But he does say a lot of different things, so I'm guilty of not diving in on his perspective. What before I answer, what was his essentially kind of his stance? And well, you know, beyond the idea that his team is in the spot it's in.
Yeah, I think his stance was basically that, you know, hey, I voted for this, but I really, in retrospect, now think it's a mistake. You know, you play 72 games, and you could be out in one or two. You make the playoffs, but right. You could be out in one or two. So I think he's really just saying that, hey, you know. You know, if we're going to be creative because of COVID, we should go straight up 120 and let the bottom four play in. So I don't know. I think he's just kind of myself. I think he's just backing up Luka. That's what I think. But okay.
Yeah, that could be the case. I mean, I would say in general, in hindsight's 2020, and you know, it's hard to set up the season one way and then pivot at this late hour just because things might have changed. So I do understand the imperfections behind it. But this COVID year in general, Tim, I just think has been tougher and more challenging for the players and the teams than the fans realize, than even a lot of the media realizes. And the part of Cuban's point that I would endorse is that anything that adds games at this point, you know, might be better for the bottom line, is not better for the players themselves. The Jamal Murray thing in particular, like all injuries, we'll never know. But if you look at a player like that who gave his all in the bubble, had a very quick turnaround into this season, was playing games at a higher clip in terms of, you know, how many games per week each team is playing right now, you know, more taxing on the body. And lo and behold, you have this play-in tournament at the end where if you are a team like Dallas, you of course you would rather, you know, just kind of get in based on the merits of what you did in the regular season and not have that be in jeopardy because of the play-in tournament. And I just think when we look back at this season and really the last couple, once the pandemic hit, I think we'll get more perspective on just, you know, how insane it was to get through it all. And mostly the NBA has gotten it right. But, you know, Michael Malone, the Nuggets coach, hit on it last night. And also Gerson Rosas, the Timberwolves head of their front office. You know, you got guys getting up at 8 o'clock in the morning to get tested. You got guys getting tested two and three times a day and then getting out on the court again at a higher clip. I just think, you know, that simplifying things right now would be the way to go. But, I mean, they told the fans that this tournament was part of the program, and I don't think you can change it now.
Before I let you go, just a couple of thoughts on the Eastern Conference. You've got a game and a half that separates five teams from four through eight. Who's going to rise to the top out of that group? And maybe is there anybody in the bottom five as of right now that could maybe challenge Philadelphia, Brooklyn, or Milwaukee?
You know, Miami's going to be the only one where they're, you know, they're standing currently fifth. Just doesn't reflect who they are as a team. Now it's not good losing Victor Oladipo, but, you know, they were a finals team without Oladipo. And as long as they've got the Jimmy Butlers and the Bam Adebayos and Tyler Hero and Duncan Robinson and those guys, to me, Miami is one that has the ability to threaten anybody in the East. You know, you look at Atlanta, and we won't know until playoff time how for real they are. To me, they're such an interesting team because they're incredibly deep, but depth doesn't always equate to dominance. And, you know, chemistry at different times has been seemingly a little tricky with them. But, you know, once Nate McMillan took over and they ended up deciding to fire Lloyd Pierce, you know, it's gone in a good direction. But I'm not about to, you know, to kind of know what they are as a playoff team just yet. So I think Miami, Boston is the one that on paper you would point to. But I think the evidence at this point of them just not being right and this roster just not working is just kind of piled up so high that I don't believe in the Celtics anymore.
Yeah, you know, I'm with you on that. I don't see that they have enough to really make a run after, you know, it seems like every year they lost another veteran, you know, off their roster. But we'll have to wait and see. Sam, always a pleasure to chat some NBA with you and continued success in your career at The Athletic. And I'm with you. I can't wait to where we can all get into a, you know, I'll even take some of the jostling if we have to get into a media scrum once again. Yeah, I'm a little tired of the Zoom act. A little tired of the Zoom act at this point, so.
Yeah, I understand, and I can certainly relate. Look forward to seeing you down the road, Tim. Thank you, man.
That's Sam Amick of The Athletic, one of the all-time greats. You can follow him on Twitter at Sam_Amick, A-M-I-C-K. And he writes for The Athletic and good stuff. He's got some stuff coming out tomorrow about the Western Conference and what happens now after that unfortunate injury to Jamal Murray. Big news today in Warrior Land. The Warriors learned last week that Rick Welts is going to be stepping down at the end of the season, and today they announced the man who will take over his job. He's got big shoes to fill, but he will fill them fine. And that is Brandon Schneider, the new team president and chief operating officer, and he's also, not only that, you're a Bay Area guy, you're a Gripple Warriors fan, now you're running the team, but you also worked with the team back in the early 2000s, and those of us who were there remember those dark days, and I don't know if it's a scab, but there's a little bit of a scar, I think, on all of us from those days, but we got through them and got to better times. Brandon, congratulations, and job well done.
Thank you very much, Tim. I really appreciate it. Thanks for having me on, and we did get through those dark days. I think we all, look, we like what's been happening the last 7, 8, 9 years more, but we learned a lot during those years as well.
And I think one of the things we all felt at the time was that this franchise could be what it is today, but it took the ownership of Joe Lacob and Peter Guber to make that happen. And so I guess the challenge that you will face, that we all face working for the Warriors, is to take that worldwide brand, take that basketball success, and try to sustain it. Is that what you see as maybe one of the big tasks that you will have on your plate?
Yeah, I think that's well said. And look, it's something we'll tackle collectively. You know, you've got Joe Lacob, Peter Guber, Bob Myers, you know, Kirk and Larry Harris and Mike Dunleavy and Steve Kerr and the coaching staff and everybody on the basketball side. And as we all know, we will sign, breaking news, we'll sign a really good free agent this summer and getting Klay Thompson back. you know, yeah. So when you get Steph, Klay, Draymond, Andrew Wiggins, James Wiseman, you know, keep going on and on, we're going to have a really good team next year. So you know, we have a lot of good years of basketball left. And then for the organization overall, Tim, I think what you said is right on. You know, we've had a lot of success over the last several years, and the challenge is going to be how do we sustain that? You know, and you think about consistency. You know, I think the investment that Joe and Peter and the ownership group made in Chase Center is going to be critical, because, you know, you look at buildings like Madison Square Garden is one that gets tossed around, and you know, the Knicks have been able to sustain success off the court over the years, even without a good basketball team, because it's such an incredible experience when you go. Everyone wants to go to Madison Square Garden. And so that's what we think we've built and hope we've built with Chase Center. So there's a lot that we will talk about and a lot that we will look to do in the coming years. But I think, you know, you highlighted the challenge right on.
You know, it's funny because, you know, when I was traveling with the Warriors in my early days with the franchise, I was always explaining to people on the road where Golden State was. And I live out here. I'm about 25 minutes from Napa, so I'm way out here. But now if I wear Warrior gear, Brandon, into Napa, foreign tourists will stop me and say, "Oh, wow, Warriors, love the Warriors." You know, they know all about the Warriors. It's fun. So I think Chase Center will get there at some point. But I wanted you to explain to people, and I've been on these weekly Zoom meetings with you and a lot of other folks with the Warriors, about how much work has gone in to get ready to have fans back in the building. You guys were talking about this last March, a year ago March, after the season was suspended. There's a lot of people behind the scenes who have done a lot of work to get ready for this.
Yeah, that's right. So, you know, I think a lot of people have heard this by now, but, you know, one of the degrees Joe Lacob has is in epidemiology. He's a master's in epidemiology. So when this stuff first started, when COVID was, for people to know what it was yet, people hadn't heard of terms like herd immunity. This is back in early March of 2020. Joe was all over it, talking us through, you know, what we had to look for and how this thing was going to evolve. And nobody knew how it was going to evolve holistically. But he had a sense that, more than me and the rest of us, of how this would go. And so we built a task force that we call Operation Dub Nation. And we started last April in thinking about how we were going to get fans back in Chase Center safely. And that was really our edict, was how do we make Chase Center the safest building in the world? And one of the things that Joe, again, Joe's leadership deserves a lot of credit here, was talking about testing really early on. If we could test and know that every single person going in Chase Center was negative, COVID-19 negative, We could make it a safe place. And look, we still have to do all the other things. We still have to wear masks. We have to talk about physical distancing. You know, we have to think about how we do food and beverage and ingress and egress and all, you know, all those different things. And the building's got to be clean. And we looked at air filtration and all of these things. But Yo-Yo Chan is the woman on our team that leads Operation Dub Nation. She's done a tremendous job. But it's touched every area of the organization. So we meet, this task force meets every Monday morning for, it used to be an hour and a half, now it's an hour, with Joe Lacob's in the meeting, Rick Welts is in the meeting, two of our other owners that are involved in various parts of the COVID response are involved. There's about 15 of us. And then there's a ton of meetings throughout the week where we have work groups that are taking what we kind of talk about and say, okay, how do we implement this? So it started with that task force. And then you've got, you know, Kim Stone, who's the general manager of Chase Center, and our entire operations team that is doing all the, you know, implementing all the testing and all the things that I'm talking about with Operation Dub Nation, but also, you know, all the other things, the MERV 15 filters that don't ask me to explain exactly what that means, but the standard is MERV 13. Chase Center has MERV 15. That's CDC and NBA standard. So we exceed that. But it's also, you know, and I think somebody dubbed us the Purell Palace early on, you know, having the hand sanitizer. But it's the airflow, so we can actually change the entire amount of air in Chase Center for outside air almost five times per hour. So it's completely, it's almost like being in an outdoor venue. So, you know, we have advantages because it's a brand new state-of-the-art building, but we've also got an incredible operations team led by Kim that's been out in front of this, you know, making sure we're doing everything we can to make it safe. You know, and then you think about Jen Millay and our marketing team, and how do we talk to our fans, and you know, the fact that everything that we're doing, making it safe. So this has touched every single person that works for the Warriors, and we could not be more excited to finally be able to welcome fans back at our next home game on April 23rd.
Yeah, no question about it. It's a tremendous, all the work that's being done behind the scenes that nobody will ever know about to make it a better experience. We're talking with Brandon Schneider. He's the new team president and COO of the Golden State Warriors. I'm Tim Roy. It's the Warriors Roundtable. So, Brandon, who was your favorite Warrior growing up?
Well, I'm 41. So, you know, the first game I ever went to was February 1st, 1987. Four overtime games. You probably remember that. We beat the New Jersey Nets 150 to 147. I'll never forget. I was
I wasn't here yet.
Yeah. Well, you were a fan back in 1987.
So. I was. Yeah, I was a fan back then. I was. So,
I wasn't there for the end of the game. I wasn't there for the end of the game because I was seven and I had school the next day. So when I was a kid, it was Joe Barry Carroll, Sleepy Floyd. But soon after that, it was Run TMC. I would say my favorite Warriors growing up were probably Chris Mullin and probably Tim Hardaway. I was always, you know, one of the shorter kids, so I could relate to the point guard and the quickness and the killer crossover. So I would probably say those two guys.
You know, I was mentioning earlier that you and Bob Myers have a lot you can relate to because you both grew up in the Bay Area, you both grew up Warrior fans, and now you're both in key positions with the franchise. How cool is this for you?
Well, I'll give you one more parallel with Bob Myers. We both went to UCLA. He was a few years ahead of me.
Oh, that's right.
I was in the building in the Seattle Kingdom, 1995, when the Bob Myers-led UCLA Bruins won the national championship over the defending champion Arkansas Razorbacks. But I digress. This is so cool, Tim. You know, I worked for the Warriors for 19 years. I started when I was 22, my first job out of college. So I've seen, you know, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And, you know, Joe and Peter and the ownership, the new ownership group, I say new, bought the team November of 2010, November 12th, and everything changed. And so, you know, getting to learn from them, learn from Bob Myers, learn from Rick Welts, from Steve Kerr, from all my coworkers, quite honestly, you know, all the different people that I work with throughout the organization that I've learned so much from over the years. And, you know, this has been, you know, it's been special. And we're going to miss Rick. I'll say a lot more about this
in
the coming weeks, months, and years. We're all going to miss Rick tremendously as a leader and just as an incredible guy who's done so much for me and all of us. But yeah, it's all surreal right now, Tim. It hasn't all sunk in as I'm reading all the texts and emails and LinkedIns and Facebooks and, you know, all the different ways people contact you nowadays. But it's been pretty cool.
I have to tell you this, and it's not just because you're on the line, but it's absolutely true. Is that when the ownership was changed in 2010, as you mentioned, you know, there were a lot of people, obviously, in any ownership change. There's some, you know, cleaning of the house and get some new people in and get the people in that they liked. But there's only a few of us who were left from that change, and you're one of them. And they saw something in you. Joe Lick and Peter Guber saw something in you that they really were impressed with. So congratulations on this, man. You deserve it. You really do.
Thank you very much, Tim. Me, you, Raymond Ritter, and some others. But no, I really appreciate that. It means a lot.
What's your first task at hand?
Oh, I don't know. Take a deep breath. Sit back. You look, I think
yeah.
This is all happened. You know, I got the call from Joe and Peter last Wednesday. So it's been 6 days. And look, we're going to enjoy the last, you know, 2.5, hopefully 3 months, if we can extend our playoff run with Rick Welts, you know, soaking in all of his knowledge and leadership. And then, right, you know, we're working on getting fans back to Chase Center this year safely. And then thinking about next year, I think we all hope there's light at the end of the COVID tunnel. And so we're really thinking about how we get back to the new normal for next year. And you know, and then we'll sit with our senior leadership team and with Joe and Peter and continue to chart the course of how we're going to continue to innovate and stay ahead of the curve and, you know, continue the cutting edge track that we're on.
Brandon, always a pleasure to chat with you, and congratulations, boss, and best of luck, though you really don't need it.
I appreciate that, Tim. I appreciate everything you do, and I'll look forward to seeing you at Chase Center soon.
All right, that's Brandon Schneider, the new team president of the Golden State Warriors, team president and COO. We'll come back with scores, a look ahead of the schedule, the Warriors on the road here on 95.7, The Game.
Tim Roy is holding court. Pun intended.
Join me in my court at Camelot.
At the Warriors Roundtable on 95.7, The Game. Now back to Warriors Box.
It's good!
Tim Roy.
The shot clock is at 6. To the left wing. Reggie, 4-3. Boom, baby! Boom, boom, boom! What a monstrous three! What a monstrous three for Reggie!
That was was Bobby Slick Leonard, the longtime color commentator on Pacers Radio, a great coach in the ABA, and helped establish pro basketball in Indianapolis. Has passed away. Passed away yesterday at the age of 88. Got his name Slick Leonard from George Mikan in a late night gin rummy game with the Minneapolis Lakers, and just a great ambassador for basketball in the state of Indiana. Let's move on and get to our Kaiser Permanente scoreboard. We start off with a game that was rescheduled because of the unfortunate slaying of another black man in Minnesota. And in this game, the Brooklyn Nets were in town, and Landry Shamet was dialing it up.
Harris down the lane, kick it to Shamet, open in the left corner this time, and a three is good for Landry Shamet.
Shooters understand each other, right? And Joe Harris was penetrating and knew that Landry Shamet was going to slide to the open area, and he got it to him.
11 for Shamet, his third three. Nets by 24.
And they would win by 31-27-97 over the Timberwolves. Nets are 37-17. Well, the Indiana Pacers are hosting the L.A. Clippers, and this happened.
Indiana by two with the ball, right to left in yellow on the drive in the lane, right to left with a left-hand finish on an up and under. That's T.J. McConnell. He scored seven. How many times does he do that before the other teams recognize that that is his trademark? He stole an inbound pass and laid it in. Boy, if I show up in a bar every night at 7 o'clock, why are they surprised the next night I show up at the bar at 7 o'clock? Isn't that what this is?
That's exactly what this is. But the L.A. Clippers were coming back in the second half.
589 L.A., 20 for Marcus Morris Sr.
Marcus Morris with a bucket there. And the Clippers right now lead 123-111, 58 seconds to go in that one. The Atlanta Hawks are on the road. They were winning tonight.
Now a little pressure in the backcourt from Brandon Goodwin against Malachi Flynn. Flynn gets it across. Over there they go now to Anunoby. Anunoby trying to drive, throws it back out, and it's stolen. Brandon Goodwin has it. Here comes Brandon. He's going to take it underneath to Kevin Huerter. Left corner, Bogey. Three-pointer, Bogey. He's got another one. Bogey Bogdanovich knocks down the three, and Toronto is going to need a timeout. Hawks have taken an 11-point lead. Timeout on the floor.
Hawks with a win tonight, 107-103 over the Raptors, 29-25 on the season. L.A. Lakers and the Charlotte Hornets, actually that was a 108-103 final, not 107. That was a little behind on the scorecard. 7:35 to go fourth quarter, L.A. Lakers 84, the Charlotte Hornets 75. Oklahoma City is in Salt Lake City. The Jazz lead 42-41, 5:19 to go before the break. A couple of good ball games with later starts. The Miami Heat are in Phoenix, and the Boston Celtics are in Portland to take on the Trailblazers. Well, the Warriors head on the road, and tomorrow night they take on the Oklahoma City Thunder. Ladies and gentlemen, Moses Brown.
Looking for a lane, sends it down to Moses Brown, and that'll be an and one.
Now, he got this one right. This went straight down the middle and bent the rim, folks. That's what he does. He does a lot of that. He's actually really good at bending the rim.
5:30 with the pregame show, 6 o'clock with the tip, the Warriors and the Oklahoma City Thunders. And that starts the road trip. The second night of the road trip will be in Cleveland as Colin Sexton tried to take a step forward in his career.
Sexton steps back, three. There's another one! Colin Sexton! An absolutely incredible display of long-range shooting. Cavs by 11, 142-131.
Warriors and Cavs, again, 4:30 airtime, 5 o'clock with the tip, a different time in each game of the road trip, including in Boston.
Robert Williams finds Tatum coming back door for a two-hand slam, and there's the first 50-point game for Jason Tatum in his career.
Does he come? Does he get 60 in this game?
He may have to. 126-124. Boston scores first in the overtime.
And Boston, of course, is Saturday. That's a 5:30 tip, 5 o'clock airtime. And then on a Monday night,
Danny Green looking, goes into Embiid. Embiid has it against Achiuwa. He shoots a top-of-the-key shot, up and good. With 3 seconds to go, Embiid ties the game at 120.
That's Tom McGinnis on the Sixers Radio Network. 4:30 with the tip, 4 o'clock start on Monday, Warriors and the Sixers. Thanking Brandon Schneider, the new Warriors team president, and also thanking Sam Amick of The Athletic. R.C. Davis is the producer, Craig at the controls. Coming up next, the final word, and of course tonight, Whitey Gleason stepping in for John Dickinson. So it's Whitey and Ryan Covey, and what is your favorite Steph moment? That's coming your way next right here on your home for Golden State Warriors basketball, 95.7 The Game.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.